living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Now this morning I want to tell you a story. It's called The Story of Us. I can tell you that... verify for you that it's true, because a lot of my life is intertwined with this body of believers and what God did to get us going. And it's good every now and then to stop and remember what we're doing, because we can get in this rut where we're just going to church. And it's good to stop and realize that there's something bigger going on, than just us. So I want to share with you some of that story. But before I do, I wanted to just give you the preface of the story. The preface is titled, "I'm not a real football player, just a guy following Jesus." And what I mean by that is, I've known Christ for as long as I can remember in my life. And wasn't until June 3rd, 1994 that I turned my life over to Him. And then in 2000, that's when I sort of surrendered my career over to the Lord and started in ministry at Brookville Road Community Church. I had some wrestling with God, doing the Jacob thing and trying to get my fears out of the way, trying to give God my future. And so finally did that. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I just know that He wanted me. And so it started in at Brookville Road there. And those years that I served there served me well. I did a lot of things. I'm just a guy following Jesus. So I'm trying to say yes to God when He calls. And so I did a lot of things, from serving in the nursery to VBS characters to, whatever. Leading worship once, preaching, whatever. I remember my first message that when I was asked to preach the first time, I was scared to death, and I was so relieved when it was over. It took less than 20 minutes, and it was on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I think a lot of people were relieved when it was over. Little did I know that 7 years later, God would be calling me to launch a church where I'm preaching most Sundays and just trying to say yes to Him, trying to keep my eyes on Him. And really, what's happened in my life has proven out a promise that God gave to me about my life from Psalm 51, 12, and 13, where it says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." So that promise has been fulfilled in my life. It's my life story. So I often ask myself, what happened here? Now, how did I go from the pew to the pulpit? How did I do that? This has been the greatest adventure of my life. And it's been the most difficult journey of walking by faith that I've ever experienced. I don't see myself as a pastor to this day. And I think maybe my family and friends don't see me as a pastor. I don't know. Gavin, my son, the other day called me Pastor Dad. So maybe I'm growing in that role. But, listen, I'm just a guy following Jesus, and it is my privilege to serve at the pleasure of the King. Hey, would you pray with me right now and ask God to stir in us a heart for what He's doing among us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning for this place and these people that have gathered here in Your name to worship You. And it is my privilege, Lord, to share with them the story of us, because really it's a story about You and Your faithfulness and what You want to do in the world. And so, Lord, I pray that the things that I share today, the scriptures that I share, and the words that come from my heart about life, about my life, about you, would call us up to another place at Living Streams and would inspire us to live our lives for what you're doing right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first chapter is chapter 1, entitled Dawn. Back in January of 2007, it was a snowy Wednesday morning, and I was in my prayer closet writing in my prayer journal. And I wrote down this question: God, are people praying that I would plant a church? God, are people praying that I would plant a church? Now, understand that I had seen church planting and the challenges of that up close and personal through my friend Pastor Randy White and what he was doing in his church plant. So I had a good idea what that looked like, and it was difficult. I lived 3 minutes from Brookville Road, still do. Lived 3 minutes from my home church. I was enjoying the ministry that God had given me to do there, preaching some and leading men and overseeing the small groups there at the church. I wasn't looking to plant a church. In fact, I was looking not to, okay? I wanted to stay put. I wanted to see what God was going to do at Brookville Road. But God had other ideas for me. I couldn't shake that question that I wrote down. I had this distinct feeling inside of me that God wanted me to do something new. And so that began a 10-month journey for me of asking and seeking and knocking around this idea of a church plant. And I really wanted to be sure that God was calling me. This was about God calling me to do something new and not about Greg just being discontent with things. And I was really wanting to discern that. So that time in my life, that 10-month journey, can really be described as that verse on the wall there, Isaiah 43:19. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up before you. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So that was the beginning. Now, all of that 10-month journey, it ended with a clear call while I was out running. And I was praying about this, and God said, you need to start something new. It was very clear, almost like I heard him say it. So about 2 months after that, in January of 2008, I went before Brookville Road, and we had a prayer room in the back, and we sort of walked out when the music started, and I was standing behind the door with Pastor Hubert, and he said, are you sure you want to walk through this door? I said, yeah, I'm sure. And so we did. I went before and I told the church our family would be leaving, and we'd be going to start something new, a new church, somewhere up toward Mount Comfort and McCordsville. That's what I told them. So I didn't have an address, but that's the direction we're going. So after the first service, I was headed to the cafe to get a cup of coffee, to get some energy for the second service. And Don Kennedy walks up to me, and he's got tears rolling down his face. And he said, Greg, I've got to tell you my vision. I've been praying that you would come up to where I live and start a new church. Now, he's been a resident of Mount Comfort for a long time, and a church went to church there for 44 years before he went to Brookville Road. And he had a heart for God, and he had a heart for his neighbors, and he wanted to see a church get planted for them. So you know that verse, James 5:16? The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. You're sitting in a place that is the wonderful result of that man's prayer. That verse is true. Don never one time told me he was praying for me and what he wanted me to do. I didn't want to plant a church, wasn't even considering it. But because he was faithful and had faith, God heard his prayer. So Living Streams wasn't my idea. God put it in Don's heart, and Don lifted it back to God, and God granted the desires of his heart. And that's how things got started. Chapter 2 is entitled Strategy. Once I was committed to this planting thing, I thought I should do some due diligence and study up. How do you plant a church? So most of the strategies sort of were this business model. You know, bankroll a media campaign, you know, blitz the place you're going to go with information that there's a new church coming. And then you gather a crowd and start having services, and there's this big buzz, this energy and excitement. And then week by week, you watch people leave, until you get down to the core group, and then you start building your church. Well, I had some problems with this strategy. One, I didn't have a bankroll. I didn't have a lot of money. Two, we didn't have a place to gather a crowd. And three, I didn't have the heart to watch people leave from the very beginning. So I just thought, you know, I'm having a hard time with all this advice, God, on how to start. And then I was reading along in Zechariah, and the Lord spoke to me through Zechariah 4:16, which says this: "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So God didn't want us to create a buzz and do this big media campaign and gather a crowd. He didn't want us to do that. What he wanted us to do was pray and ask him to work. That's what he wanted us to do. So I put the invitation out at Brookville Road. About 15 families heard the call from God to start Living Streams. And we began by meeting once a month on Saturdays at Vineyard Community Church down south on south of 70 on Mount Comfort Road. They have a second building. That's where we started to meet. We also started a prayer meeting, a weekly prayer meeting on Monday nights that met just across from the Mount Comfort Airport in a boardroom of a local business there. And we focused our prayer time on five P's: a place, people, provision, protection, and power. Those five things. We needed a place. We didn't have a place to go, so we needed a place to gather. And we wanted more people to worship with. We were needing God's power to change hearts, to bring people alive to Him. We needed God's protection from the enemy who would try to discourage us and distract us and dismantle our unity. And we needed God's provision from finances to music to group leaders to you name it. We needed more help. We started that prayer meeting on June 9th, 2008. Every week, praying those P's. About a week after we started that prayer meeting, my mom calls me and tells me about this vacant building in McCordsville that she saw. So I came up here hunting for it. She said it's on Carroll Road. Well, Carroll Road down where I live is 800 West. Up here it's 700 West, so I couldn't even find the place. So I finally found it, came in here, looked around, found out Meyer owned it, Meyer Incorporated. So I got on their website, found who to email, sent them an email. "Hey, I don't know if this is something you do or if this is even possible or if we can even afford it, but we're starting a church. We need a place to meet." So 3 weeks after I sent that email, I got this reply, July 1st, 2008, from Roger DeHook: "Greg, we may be able to work something out. I'm going to try and get down there in the next 2 weeks. We may be able to propose a rent-free lease with the church maintaining the grounds." Now, I call that God parting the Red Sea. That's an open door in the community. So there was an answer to one of our P's, but it wasn't the only answer. You know, God continued to answer our request. When we opened the doors here for an entire year, over a whole year, every Sunday we had visitors. Every Sunday, without fail, we had people coming in here that we didn't know. God answering prayer. And then if we just keep going down the list, God's provision. I mean, it was amazing how God turned on the faucet of funds and people and skills. I mean, all the skills to remodel this place, add on, most of them are right here in this building, in a group of people. It wasn't very big. That's God's hand. So really, as we look over the course of our 7 years almost of existence, you can see very plainly when there was a need, God supplied it. He fulfilled the need. He is faithful. This was His idea. He wasn't, I think Chris said this, if I can remember this, Chris Martin said, "God's not going to lead you somewhere and then leave you there." You know, He's opened this door. He led us here, and He's been providing all the way. Lives have been changed in this room. People have come to faith in Christ right here. God's word's been shaping hearts for 7 years right here. And it's exciting to see that. So that's just people. It's God answering prayer, you know, for His Spirit to work in people's hearts. And then God's protection has been a huge thing as well. We have experienced all kinds of attacks from me personally, in my marriage, in my family, in this body. You name it, the enemy has been coming after us. But here we are, standing today, looking ahead at what God has for us next by His grace, because we've been praying. There's a spiritual war going on, and Satan's not happy that we're here. And God calls us to fight in that war through our prayers. So, over the past almost 7 years, God has been faithful to answer our prayers. Those P's haven't changed. I pray them every week. Maybe not just PPP, but I pray them, you know. So it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's our strategy. Chapter 3, vision. So since Living Streams wasn't my idea, I needed to work on this this thought of, well, what kind of church is it going to be? Now, I hadn't been at home dreaming about a certain kind of church, so what kind of church is it going to be? So I began by asking myself, well, what is it that God has put in me that's got me passionate? And so I started looking at that, and preaching God's word is something that became a passion of mine. Family became a passion of mine. Discipleship, evangelism. So those things, you know, they're things that get me out of bed in the morning. And so they began to, you know, I put those things down on paper, and then I came up with this vision for the church: together, following Jesus, reaching the world. Those three things. Also double as our values: community, discipleship, and mission. You know, the church is an organization, but it's also an organism made up of people who come together who know the Lord. And by that relationship with God, we have a relationship with each other that's very real and spiritual. I don't know if you've ever met anybody from another country who's a believer, but you feel like you know them already, even though you can't even speak their language. That's what we have, the Holy Spirit connecting us together. So Jesus is at the center of our community. He draws people together. And when we get together in whatever number and whatever form that looks like, we are fulfilling our identity as a New Testament church. We looked at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, that sort of describe this being together. Here's what it says: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, that was a special time in the church. But what they were experiencing, a common place, a common purpose, and common possessions, those are things that are still accessible for us today. They're still things that New Testament believers should pursue. And then as you look at the New Testament, there's all these commands that we call the one another commands that tell us, command us how to live with one another, love one another, serve one another, carry one another's burdens, be at peace with one another. There's over 50 of them that tell us how we should relate to one another. You know, Jesus said that people outside the church, when they look in, will know that we're real believers because of our love for one another. That's how strong that should look to the outside world. And you know what? None of this is possible unless we get together. None of it. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." Well, the church back then, the Hebrew church that he wrote that letter to, it was struggling to meet together because of persecution that they were facing. So their lives were threatened if they got together. Well, the church today, we aren't faced with that yet. You know, we might be in the future. But right now, that's not the enemy we face. The enemy we face today is the all-you-can-eat buffet of activity that we have available to us and the ability to do it. That's the enemy. You know, there's a trend today in churches. I'm reading in Leadership Journal, different things. It's been the last couple of years that people aren't going to church more. They're going to church less. The people that are faithful four Sundays a month or five, whatever, you know, they're coming like one Sunday or less now. So everybody's coming to church less now than we were before, just a few years ago, like when we started the church. That is the trend in our church in America. And you know what? It's causing an evangelical recession. That's what there's a book right now. You can get that. You know what we need is an evangelical revival. That's what we need. And you know where it's going to start? In the church. Right in this kind of place. Where people are getting together like this. Calling on the name of the Lord. That's where it's going to start. And so I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm still passionate about being together. About being together. I mean, if you think about why our love for one another is an apologetic, that God is real and He loves people. And so that is coming from us being together. You know, our ability to be like Jesus out there will have a strong correlation to how much time we give in here to this group. It just goes hand in hand. You're not meant to be a Christian out there on your own. We're meant to get together and grow in the Lord and then take that relationship out there. And that's how you shine. That's how you become the salt of the earth. We got to get together. And so we're going to fight for it. I will fight for it. Okay, following Jesus. There's a verse that we look to sort of launch us into this idea of what following Jesus is all about. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." So there's a little word in that verse that's very important. It's the word out. Okay? Out. If it said for, work for your salvation, we'd be having a different discussion. And we'd have a lot more people here. If you think about it. No, it says work out your salvation. So it's implying that something has happened in your life. There has been a time or a day or there's been an event or a process where you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were able to see your life and what it was like without Jesus, and there was this call to eternal life and belief and trust in Him, and that there was some time where you said, "Jesus, I'm yours. Forgive me of my crummy stuff and help me live my life. Help me live it like you want me to live it." So that verse is implying that salvation has happened and that now we've got some work to do. Jesus has done all the work for us to have life with God. But there's work for us to do to grow in having that life with God. And we do that by doing the things that Jesus did that result in God working in us for us to look more like Him. So I'm going to go through these things. We call them streams. Streams. Six streams of behavior that I believe in, that I've experienced God working in me as I did them over time. So here's how you follow Jesus at Living Streams. The Bible stream is first. We want to see the Bible stream flowing in your life. Jeremiah 15, 16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." We cannot follow Jesus unless we are on a steady diet of God's word in our lives. Jesus said Himself, man is not meant to live on bread alone, but by that comes from the mouth of God. That's the Bible stream. Next, we've got the prayer stream. We need to have the prayer stream flowing in our lives. When we're following Jesus and what He did in His life, He shows this pattern of going off by Himself to a solitary place to pray to His Heavenly Father. So He showed us how to do that. He showed us how to have a connection with Him. He taught His disciples how to pray. And then Paul, one of His disciples, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." So our life with God is going to be about prayer. We're going to be needing to grow in our understanding of prayer and in our experience of prayer. That's the prayer stream. The holiness stream is next. God says in His Word, it's a call to us. Be holy like I am holy. It's a pretty high calling. But that calling is what puts this on the list as we think about following Jesus in our behavior. Now the trouble with holiness is when we try to achieve it, we're always working on the outward behavior in our lives. You know, so we're trying to fix our tongue or whatever it might be. You know, we get stuck working on fruit instead of getting down to the root where the heart is, and that, the heart, is where holiness comes from. And so it's a matter of God working in us. So 1 Timothy 4:7-8, spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next. So how do you do spiritual fitness? Well, we use the spiritual disciplines to get us into shape, and then God works in that to change our hearts. What are the spiritual disciplines? Well, there's a lot of them. Bible, prayer, those two are in there. Fasting, silence, solitude. You know, there's a lot of them. Our worship, our community, celebration. God will work in all of those things to change our hearts and make us look more like Jesus. The mercy stream is next. Luke 6:36, we just went over that a few weeks ago. Be merciful even as your heavenly Father, even as your Father is merciful. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth. Huh? Well, to be his church, to be his people, that means we're going to be people of mercy. We're going to be people who are merciful to other people like he was merciful to us. And for salt to have impact, what does it have to do? It has to get out of the salt shaker, right? It has to be applied. And so that means that we are going to be taken out and go face to face with people who have needs, down and outers, people who have been marginalized in life, people who have just been left behind. And when salt gets applied, what happens? It slows the decay in people's lives. It enhances the flavor of life, and it makes people thirsty for God. So that's what our mercy is supposed to do. Go out and shine. Next is the Spirit stream. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God has not called us to do this on our own, thank goodness. He's given us His Holy Spirit when we trusted and believed in Him. And so the Spirit produces gifts in us, and those gifts are here to build up the body of Christ and to glorify God. And then the Spirit also bears fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. All those things, when they're being produced in our life, make us shine out in the world, in our relationships with each other. All of them are good, and they bring glory to God. The Spirit stream empowers all these other behaviors and makes them useful, and so that God uses them in our lives. So the Spirit is, you can't do the life without Him. And we, I don't know about you, but I'd like to know more about Him. I'd like to know more about Him. The last one, the incarnational stream. This is kind of maybe the most difficult to understand, but it's really something that we do every day. Remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God. We call Him the incarnation. Well, this is us taking our life out into the world, and we blur the lines of secular and sacred. Okay, we take our Sunday, and it bleeds into all the other days of the week. You know, it's taken our life, living it like Jesus was living it, if He were living it in our shoes. That's what incarnational living is. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So, as all of these streams get flowing in our lives, it is how we work out our salvation. It is how we fulfill 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what I call streaming at Living Streams. Now, if you look at all those things, I hope you can see how they move from things that are happening internally to things that happen externally in our lives. And they really move right to our mission, reaching the world. You know, what's missing from the American church today is purpose. You know, the message of the American church today is get saved so you can have a great life. That's the wrong message. All of this that's happening, our community, us being more like Jesus, it's not for us. It's for them. All those people who don't know Him. It's for the kingdom of God. And so every believer needs to hear this call to share the gospel. In Matthew 9, Jesus saw the people. He was going around. He saw the people harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and He had compassion on them. And He turned to His disciples and He said, pray. pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers into the harvest field. Well, we want to be a church that partners with God in the harvest field. We want to be answers to that prayer, to head out and share Christ with people. Being a part of the kingdom growth, that's our purpose. And we need to latch on to it, throwing off our fears, reckless abandon. Somebody today needs to hear about Jesus. And that's what this is about. You can bring them here. Please, do it. Bring them here. This is a holy place, a friendly place. They're going to get confronted with the gospel. They're going to get confronted with Christ and His love. So bring them here. But, you know, my heart is to send you out streaming into the world for God. I don't want to be a bottleneck, you know. You guys can do a lot of good for the kingdom right out there where you live and work and move. So those three things, together, following, reaching, still get me out of bed in the morning. And I believe they're strong pillars for a great church. And I believe with all of my heart that they are worth giving your life to. Because every single one of them have something to do with eternity. You know, where we're going to be for a really long time compared to here. So, chapter 4, pioneers. Being a church plant is different. It's a different experience. We're always starting something around here because things haven't been started before. You know, we had this group of people that came out of Brookville Road, and they pioneered to start something new as God called them. Now, most of them are gone. God has called them to pioneer somewhere else. And I thank God for every one of them. Now, there's a few of you who are still hanging around. And I wanted to thank you this morning for being faithful to God and believing in us and for what God is doing here. It means a lot to me that you're still here after all the words you've heard me say. So thank you for that. So as the stream started flowing, we had to start a lot of ministries. Now, a lot of things got started. We started small groups in the church for connection and for study. Pastor Shane got our worship ministry going, and then he came back to keep it going. So we're praising God for that. We started a youth group with the help of Pastor Steve and Joyce and Tom. So those things got started. We started this Jubilee sale, you know, that's happened every other year with the help of a lot of you getting that accomplished. We started mowing 30 acres of grass every summer. Now for 6 summers, we've done that. That takes about 8 to 10 hours a week. And I don't do that. So you guys are doing that. And I thank you for that. We started children's ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, all of those things. We started a fresh encounter service that meets here on the last Wednesday of the month, where we come and praise God and pray together in an effort to become a praying church. And we've started some things that have stopped. And that's okay. See, I'm a disciple of Henry Blackaby. I don't know if you know his name, but he says, you know, in when you're doing ministry, you need to watch where God is working and then go and join Him there. And so that means some of the things that you start, if He isn't working in that and you see Him working somewhere else, you need to stop that so you can start what He's doing. And so we kind of have that start and stop, you know, in our history. And that's a good thing. One of the things that we started was membership. You know, what does it mean to be a member of Living Streams? Well, back in 2013, we preached a series called Ecclesia, the Greek word for church. And it was this search and rescue operation to search the Bible for the biblical church and to rescue the church from our definitions and expectations, what we've kind of made it. And so I took our vision, that together following reaching, and I sort of threw it out there that during that series. And I said, is this going to stand up to what the Bible says the church is? And thankfully, you know, it did. I didn't have to start over. So what we did is we took that together following reaching and we boiled it down to this streamer covenant. And they're out there in the lobby. I want you, if you don't have one, take one home and read it today, because it is your statement of what you're committing to be a participating member of Living Streams. Okay? And most of it's scripture. So it comes right out of the Word. So take it home and read it. Now, basically that set the expectations that you need that I lay on you as a member of Living Streams. But not only me, I believe God lays those on you. to be a member of a church. So that covenant was step one. Step two was a membership class that we did this year, the beginning of the year, and basically taking new people up to what is that covenant about and understanding. And we have everybody in the house. You know, we're non-denominational, so we've got a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. So what we do in the membership class is we go back to the Bible and say, what is church? And then we just kind of start building from there. This is the covenant. This is you being a member of this body of Christ as we have seen it. So that was kind of step two. Step three is coming. You know, we still need to develop that. There needs to be accountability around our membership. So we can say, yeah, here's the covenant. This is what I'm going to commit to. But I don't come back to you and say, hey, you're not living up to the covenant. Haven't done that yet. And I don't know exactly how that looks. And I don't know if it'll happen a whole lot. But it should be a part of things. And you know, the notes, this is my story, you know. So I was like, I need notes to keep me on track. But in our culture, there is an attack coming on the church. And one of the things that we need to do is to define very specifically what it means to be a member here, what it means to be a member in the church. Because pretty much it will fall eventually is what they tell me. But pretty much, like, you know, when it comes to marriage, me being able to say to you or to anyone, I only marry members of the church. I need to be able to say that or you can come visit me in jail. So we need to work it out. We need to take membership to a bigger place because there's an attack coming. Okay, so all of those things that we started, all of those things take people. Take pioneers to break new ground, to build, and to persevere. And it's not an easy thing to do. When you're a church under 200, there's not a lot of people to go around, but all the ministry is still there to try to accomplish. And so that's where we are. And I wanted to encourage you today. I wanted to say this to you. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. There's people we don't even know yet that are going to come here and be a part of what God is doing in the Cordsville. I hope you can believe that with me. Chapter 5, called Next. What is next for Living Streams? So just three things I want to tell you about. You know, God says in His Word, He wants His house to be a house of prayer for all the nations. So I want us to take a step in us becoming a house of prayer. And really all that means is that we start showing up at Fresh Encounter at the end of the month. You know, if you think about it, everything we want to see happen, everything we want to see God do, everything we're dreaming about Him doing, it all hinges on prayer. You know, if you go, you read the Bible, you read testimonies of old, you read about miracles today. When those things happen, prayer was undergirding the whole thing. Prayer. Now, I don't know why it's like that. I don't know why God just doesn't, you know, but He uses the prayers of His people. He wants us to depend on Him. And it so pleases Him when we get together and pray together as a church. So I want to become this praying church. You know, I don't want to just have Sunday morning services and it's just kind of dead. You know, I'm not interested in that. I want us to experience the presence of the living God together, His Spirit moving among us. I want to see Him open hearts to Jesus. I want to see Him restore marriages, heal our aches and pains and cancers. I want to see Him do all of those things. I want to see Him change us to look more like the Acts 2 church where we just kind of go, you know, this is the most important thing in my life right here. And I'm going to give myself to it. It's a spirit thing that happens in us when that happens. So just make a commitment today to be a part of that Fresh Encounter service. You know, I know the MO on prayer meetings. It's not like that. Come and learn to pray, sing, grow in your faith. So much depends on that. Now, if we would do that, I believe the next thing is we'll become a growing church. A growing church. Yeah, I'd love to get to the place where we're back doing two services on Sunday morning. I want to share all this. You know, I put 20, 25 hours in a message every week. I'd like to share it twice. Well, we're almost there. We're really just a few families away from having to start a second service. But the truth about that is, we've been just a few families away for several years. So we're kind of stuck in this place. A healthy church is a growing church. Because what that means is the members in the church are not just focused on what's going on inside, but they've got their eyes focused out on what is going on out there, and they bring people in. That's a healthy church. We want to be that kind of church. Now, more people means more work, but it also means more workers. We'll be able to do things that we aren't able to do now if we have more people. I'd like to see us do a VBS every summer and reach out, you know, to the neighborhoods around us and all these kids that are around us. I'd like to see us partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship and start a Good News Club that meets in the school. You know, we can take Jesus right in the school, right there, if we've got the people to do it. These outreach events. I'd like to see us meet our missions budget. You know, and we do that by faith, and we've committed to three guys. And, you know, they're kind of out there on the front lines of the mission field. But I'd like to see us even grow that mission budget. Be a part of what is going on in Brazil, a ministry I've been connected to for a long time. God's doing great things down there. You know, we could do that with more people. There's more ministry we could do right here in the community, making a bigger dent. We could do the Jubilee sale every single year. And you know, with more people. There's people that you know that need Jesus, that need to know Him. And I'm, like I said before, this is a place where that has happened. You can bring them into this family of God. And they'll experience His love, His power. And they'll come to faith in Christ. I believe it'll happen again. Pray that it would. When I dream of Living Streams, I don't dream of a size church. I just dream of being God's church. And whatever that looks like, you know. And so I believe that means that we'll be growing because people will be coming in. Okay, so finally, we need to talk about, or we're getting the opportunity to talk about being a permanent church. And here's what I mean by that. You may have noticed around the property there's been a few stakes. And there's been some signs out there about zoning meetings and stuff. Well, back in March, I got this phone call from the vice president of real estate at Meijer. You know, they own the place. And he told me about their intentions of building a store, opening that in 2017. And then he said, but we would like to figure out a way for you to stay. And so I said, that would be an answer to prayer. And so God is hearing our prayers for a place. And so many prayers have gone up for this land, from all of it to a little bit of it. And so He is working for us. Meijer has given us the opportunity to buy a couple acres right here and be their neighbors. So they've given us that opportunity. And nothing is set in stone yet. There's still a lot of approvals that need to happen for them to be able to do what they want to do. And there's still some discussion that we're having as an elder board with them about the price and about the parking lot and some different things. So no pictures to show you yet, no numbers to show you just yet. But we have an opportunity to begin to talk about this being a permanent church. Now, here's something I want you to focus your prayers on. In the fall, September, October, the Meijer family is going to get together and they're going to look at this project. This is what they do with all of their projects. They will look at the project and they will look at the proposal they're giving the church and they'll say yes or no. They could put it on hold. It's a possibility. So be praying that God would show His grace through their family to His church. Because, you know, the Lord could just move this mountain right out of the way for us. It doesn't take big faith. How much? What size faith does it take to move a mountain? Mustard seed faith. It's all it takes. Let's pray and ask God to do that. Let's believe that He will work. We're not dealing with a corporation. We're dealing with a family. Let's pray that God would use them. Now, the possibility exists that God wants us to climb the mountain. And so, like I say, I'm not telling you the numbers right now because they're not set in stone. But if they stay about where they are, which they kind of need to for us, we are going to have to come together financially like we've never done before as a church. And so that's a possibility that's out ahead of us. Now listen, either way it goes, God showing us His grace in the numbers through the family there, or us showing our faith in God by giving to buy this place. Either way it goes, exciting times ahead for Living Streams. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Let's have our worship team come back up. So that is the story of us so far, where we came from, what we're about, what we're trying to do, what we're looking forward to ahead. God put a dream of Living Streams in the heart of a faithful man who lifted up in prayer. And he prayed for us before we ever were. I just love that. Living Streams was God's idea. He put us here. He put us here to witness in our weakness to his strength. And that is what we're doing. So for such a time as this, we are together in Jesus' name, following him, trying to reach the world for his glory. And I am so glad that I said yes to this. And I'm so glad that you're here to be a part of it. Because God is on the move. He is on the move. Can't wait to see what he does next. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of us. It is your story. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done to bring us to this place, for your mercy, for your grace, for your gifts, for your people. So much has been done, Lord. Even things that we haven't been able to see. So we praise you for your faithfulness to us. And we ask you, Lord, to pour out your grace through that Meyer family to us. That you might show your mighty power to your people, to the world. It's a story we would love to tell in the next chapter of us. So Lord, send us out in the power and strength of your Spirit today. Help us to go be a worker in the harvest field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.